painted to the dark. Hide away, they say, because we don't want your broken heart.
Lindsay, would you say you're a busy person?
Yeah. Yeah, just a bit. Sometimes I lose track of what day of the week it is. I'm like, really? Another week's flown by? Yeah, I'm very lucky because I've got all these things that I do because of the sight loss. And I probably wouldn't do the things I do if I didn't have my eye condition.
So what kind of things fill your day or your weeks or your months?
Well, Mondays I go to a tap class. A friend bullied me into going, shall we say, the back end of last year. So Mondays I'm either tap dancing or I go snowboarding. Tuesday mornings I go horse riding, and then in the evening I'm a member of a singing school. Wednesdays, I tend to be a lady that does lunch. And then Thursdays, I sing with friends in an a cappella group. And then I go out for lunch again after we finish singing. Because it's tiring work, you know, singing. You need to go out and have lunch afterwards and do shopping. And I also have got back into singing professionally again. So if I'm not singing, I'm giving talks to guide dogs or I'm just catching up with friends, really. It's all good.
Where did some of these interests come from? And I mean, I have to touch on snowboarding. I mean, I've done downhill skiing, I've done cross-country skiing,
but I've
never, ever thought about trying snowboarding because I'm a guide dog owner myself, and it just seems a bit... I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I think, Alan, it comes from years of going on winter holidays to Canada with my husband, who is a good snowboarder, and we were in Banff at Lake Louise with another friend who turned round to me and said, you'll never be able to snowboard because of your eye condition. And that kind of was the challenge, really. And I just spotted Snowzone in Castleford had a taster session run by British Blind Sports back in July 2016. I went along and I just got the bug. I can do everything you're supposed to do, but I'm still at that stage where I'm just holding on to my husband's little finger. He's now my guide, just because if it's busy on the slope, I'm aware there's other people, and it's just having that confidence to let go. It keeps me fit, and it's nice because when we do go back to Canada, I'm no longer kind of sat in the hotel room or in the hotel whilst my husband's out on the mountains. I can get out there as well.
It's also interesting that you said this was a challenge, someone saying to you, you can't do this. Is that your attitude to a lot of things? Is that you want to try and smash these barriers?
Yes, I'm very stubborn. I don't like being told what to do. And I guess, I think sometimes you've got to try things. But it's strange because I've always hated the cold. And we went to Canada to Whistler a few years ago, and I actually loved being on the mountain. And the people there were so supportive and so encouraging. And when I go to Snowzone at Castleford, I walk through the centre with my guide dog, my husband's carrying my snowboard, and it breaks down barriers because people that are scared to do it will go, well, if she can do it, I can do it.
I don't want to use the word achievement, but I suppose you are achieving something. But
absolutely,
it's also interesting that you're not just doing it because it was a challenge, you now enjoy it as well.
Yeah, I do. I always get quite nervous about going. But Snowzone at Castleford have been brilliant because they approached me and asked if I wanted to be the ambassador of disability snow sports, which meant that I got lessons. And it's great because other people have seen my videos and things on social media. Other visually impaired people have got into snow sports, which is great. People thought they'd never be able to do it, and actually they can. And I was asked to be in a training module for British Blind Sports and UK coaching, along with other visually impaired people in sports. And that was aimed at people that coach visually impaired people, knowing how to treat us and what we need and not being afraid to ask us questions about our needs. Because I think sometimes people say to me, well, you don't look blind. Take away the stick, take away the dog, and I don't look visually impaired. So people forget. People forget to ask what I need and what kind of help I need. So, you know, if it breaks down barriers and helps other people, then that's, I feel like I've done something.
Sure. I'm actually laughing to myself because I'm like you. I'm a guide dog owner.
But
if you took the cane or the dog away,
I
don't look visually impaired. Now, my wife still to this day says things to me like, yeah, it's over there. And I said, "What?" And she went, "Oh God, I forgot." Because you just don't. That's someone who you live with and who knows you so well. So the ability to do that with people who don't know you is a great thing. And what's also good is that this is through a British Blind Sport taster day you went to just to try some stuff for the first time.
They're doing lots of sessions for all kinds of sports, like guide running, tennis, golf. And it's just amazing how many sports are out there that people with a visual impairment can take part in. But I never enjoyed sport at school because I never knew about my eye condition. I didn't get diagnosed till my late 20s. And I just knew that I didn't have very good hand and eye coordination. And I was never very sporty. In fact, I hated any kind of physical exercise. And the fact that I'm doing all these things now, later on in life, is great. I feel like I don't have to sort of sit back in a corner and watch other people getting on with life now, because I'm busy living it, thanks to my guide dog, who is just beautiful.
Yeah. Is sport then, you know, would you say, a good way, first of all, for people to try things they haven't done before? But, you know, you don't have to be a super athlete of the future to do it. You don't have to have an interest in sport, because there's so much more you can get from it. You know, there's confidence building, there's perhaps independent mobility, even socialising.
Oh, yeah, any hobby or interest that people can take part in. It's just making new friends and feeling good about yourself, because I think sometimes, you know, we all have bad ideas where you think, oh, really? But if you go out and get out and get active, it just makes you feel so good. And it does kind of almost make you forget for that period that you do have an eye condition. With the right help and support, you're feeling equal. And that's what I found, that the people at Snowzone in Castleford, we spent a lot of time with the people in the office. They look after my guide dog, Charlotte. My husband's now comes on as my guide. So all the staff around the centre know how to look after me on the slopes, what we need. And it's great. It's a really positive experience.
Are you proving something to yourself then, as well as perhaps proving something to other people?
Possibly, yes. I think so, because for years I've been on the sidelines and thinking I'd never be able to do it. So actually being able to do it, I mean, the biggest thing for me was when we went to Whistler back in 2016, just to be able to be on that mountain, be on the plane and people saying, you know, what are you going over to Canada to do? And for me to say, I'm going snowboarding. And people to go, really? Well, how does that work? And I was very nervous, but I did it and I survived and I had all my limbs in one place at the end of the holiday, which was a bonus. So I do kind of like to push myself, and I think you need to have goals and whatever gets you through the day, whatever makes you feel good about yourself, because, you know, I'm never going to get my perfect eyesight back, but the things that I do, it just makes my life so much more fulfilled.
Did anyone ask you where you put the guide dog on the snowboard?
People do, yes. Yeah, we've had that before, Alan, yeah. I mean, Charlotte would love to be on the snow. We did have a photograph taken when I was made the ambassador at Castleford with my instructor at the time, Adam Bailey, who was just fabulous. And there's a lovely shot of Charlotte, the instructor, and myself, and Charlotte, my guide dog, is so beautiful, and she's met lots of famous people, and she just instantly knows when there's a camera. She's such a poser. And she was loving it. And I just thought, oh, it'd be so great if she could come on a winter holiday. But I've got to think of her. And, you know, she needs a holiday. She works really hard as well.
I also want to talk about the singing, because you do that professionally. Where did the love or the interest come for that?
I've always loved singing. I probably sang before I could talk. And I used to sort of sing locally. I was been in and out of bands since the age of 14. And when I first got diagnosed back in the year 2000, I decided not to sit at home and feel sorry for myself. I went out in the back of a taxi on weekends with a friend who helped me set up the equipment, and I sang for lots of years. I had an agent. And then sort of as the years went on and the RP took a hold, I lost my confidence and I lost part of me. And when I got matched with my guide dog Charlotte in 2014, people were saying to me, you know, you should get back into singing. So I started doing a lot of charity events, raising money and awareness for guide dogs, which I still do. And then off the back of that, people were saying to me, well, do you would you come and sing this in a care home? Or we've got a friend that's having a birthday, would you come and sing? And that's kind of how it all started. And it's breaking down those barriers. And Charlotte, my guide dog, just loves it. She just probably falls asleep whilst I'm singing. She's heard all the repertoire before. And I became a member of a singing school back in May last year. And that's great because we do a lot of events locally. They raise money for like local charities. And I just love going every Tuesday evening. And then I also became a member of an a cappella group with friends. It's just something that keeps my brain active. I have to sort of really be dedicated and learn the song because obviously I can't see the lyrics. It's great to keep myself mentally stimulated.
And you've sang with Ricky Ross and Deacon Blue. Is he a bit of an idol?
Oh my God, yes. It was only very briefly, Alan. I've loved the band for over 30 years. I've travelled up and down the country and I was fortunate to meet him at a solo show he did in Sheffield a few years ago, and I didn't take my guide dog Charlotte because I thought it would be too loud, and he did a meet and greet afterwards and he saw the white stick. He's actually got a friend that's got a guide dog and we chatted, and in December last year I went along to Sheffield City Hall. I was on the front row and I was singing away and all the band were looking and nodding, and he just casually walked across the stage, knelt down in front of me, grabbed hold of my arm, and we sang a bit of You've Got a Friend. Because whenever they sing Chocolate Girl, they always go into another song. And I was just like, oh my God, I just sung this with Ricky Ross. So, yes, he knows I'm a singer and he's seen photographs of Charlotte. So if you want to pull any strings, you know, and get him to, you know, get him to sing a bit more, because it was only very brief, I'd be delighted because, yeah, I just love the band. In fact, I was telling him when I first met him that when I applied for my guide dog, Charlotte, and for an hour, I was making the phone calls to guide dogs. And the minute I actually plucked up the courage and said I'd like a guide dog, Dignity from Deacon Blue came on the radio. And it was just like, oh my word, how spooky was that?
That's
out of all the songs played, that came on, yeah.
Any more challenges then? Because you're doing so much. We've got the horse riding and then the tap dancing and all sorts. Is there anything you are hoping to start or something you'd really like to do?
I do a lot of talks for guide dogs. I'm a trained speaker for them and an independent fundraiser. And I guess the goal is just to change people's perceptions about a guide dog owner. I was really blessed to be approached by guide dogs last year to feature in a leaflet which went out to guide dog supporters within the area where I live. And just to sort of say thank you, and this is how my dog's changed my life. Just to sort of say to people that just because I have a guide dog and a visual impairment, don't put me in a corner. There is that tendency for people to sort of talk differently to you when they know you've got a visual impairment. So I guess the challenge is for us to be more accepted in society, really. And I think that is happening. But no, I don't take on any more hobbies. I don't have time.
Lindsay, it's lovely chatting with you. And,
likewise, thank you.
Thank you for telling us your story on RNIB Connect Radio.
Pleasure, thank you.